Hey everybody, Lady Luck here, and we're celebrating America's 250th birthday. Now, all summer long, I'm going to be celebrating by playing on FinQuest.com, which is an American-owned social casino. It obviously features over 1,000 slot games and live blackjack, live craps, live bubble craps. Head on over to SpinQuest.com. Get yourself a $30 coin pack for just 10 bucks.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
M. Gaius, John Bachelor, Germanicus, Mark of Laos, and we're in Londinium. Beautiful spring evening. And we're enjoying the mistakes of the 20th century. Too much. So I retreat from what-if history and go to an observation that came up talking to a retired congregational pastor named John following service at the St. Andrew's Episcopalian Church in Kent, Connecticut. It's been there for more than 250 years, many more. And the conversation came up. The pastor asked, why do you talk about Rome? Why is Rome important? And I said, well, the Nicene Creed. And he smiled. Because that's a theological answer. I was trained at seminary. Then I went into the observation that we were sitting in a Roman room, that the worship service takes place in an exact replica of the basilica built by the Roman Empire to administer government and law courts and trade wherever we existed. Londinium has a basilica just like that. And that our temperament, our Bible, the New Testament, what is the New Testament? What's the drama of the New Testament without Rome? It's right there as the villain, as the culture, as the conqueror, as the overall empire, right there in the New Testament, everywhere. And of the synoptic gospels, Luke and Matthew compete for writing about Rome, and especially about the way Roman law worked in Jerusalem up against the rebellion of the Jews. And the Jews didn't just rebel in 68, 69, 70 AD. They were rebelling all the time. They did not like the Roman way of conquering them or holding them to account for the temple tax. They did not like it at all. And the Romans were much grieved by them. And when they executed Jesus, they executed him on a cross. And it confounded the Romans that the Jews, who became the Christian church, would take the cross that was meant to be the form of execution of a non-Roman citizen. It was complete disdain. Take that and turn it into a holy worship service. And take the story of Jesus, who was to Rome exhausting because he was always preaching the opposite of what they administered. So I made these points to the pastor respectfully and said, where is Rome not? And We didn't resolve it. So I come to you, Germanicus, your thoughts. Where is Rome not? It's in the New Testament. It's in our churches. It's in our institutions. It's in our courts. It's in, certainly in the military. It's in the way we treat our executives. It's in the way we do business around the world. Kind of like, hey, this isn't about what you believe and I believe. This is about business. Bottom line, can we get back to it? Where is Rome not, Germanicus? Is that persuasive?
Again, as with all things, depending upon your point of view, and one of the most powerful elements of Romanitas was its capacity to adapt and change. And the Rome that crucified Jesus ended up worshiping him. And that is amazing. And the fact that it took only about 250 years doesn't in any way take away from the amazing transformation that occurred when Rome embraced Christianity. And it was a long, uneven, difficult transformation. But the truth of the matter is that what Rome was in the Republic and in the Empire up until Constantine, was a very ruthless, but at the same time very principled ethos. Romans had tremendous dignitas and tremendous integrity, and they had a whole set of rules that governed them, often harshly. But once they became Christian, Rome began to change, and it began to change in important ways. And what you see for the next 1,000 years of Rome after Constantine, when Rome became a Christian empire and lasted into the 15th century, was a different sensibility, a more mindful sensibility of the things we think of as Christian. And what I find extraordinary about the United States is that in the last 50 years or more, the U.S. has begun, especially among its elites, its optimates, has begun to deconstruct and try to wipe away the Christian element that has always been a part of our tradition since Constantine, frankly. It was part of the tradition of the U.S. when it was created in the 18th century, and yet it has been deconstructed. And I think in many ways, once the U.S. is increasingly decoupled from that tradition, it begins to take on a more traditional Roman coloration. And this is true not simply for the woke progressive left, whatever term you want to use, but also for the evangelical or super Christian right, which is increasingly separated from these traditions in ways that are part of the contemporary context. And you saw this during the struggles of the last 15 years between woke and those who were more traditional. But now it's become more extremist on both sides, and it is without a kind of moral compass. It's all politicized. It's all about ideology. This is something similar to what happened, of course, to Russia with the Bolshevik Revolution.
Yes, and that isn't the conversation I was having with the pastor.
No, I know that. But the fact is, there's Roman and then there's Roman. That's the kind of distinction I was trying to make. And it, you know, we are now today, as Americans, more like the ancient Romans before Christianity came along. We're more ruthless, and we're more focused on power, and we're more focused on ideologies which are rooted in, I don't know, in elements that are not necessarily spiritual. I mean, you would look at the Rome of...
There's no reason for the word necessarily.
Rome was very pragmatic in its ruthlessness, and its connection to higher powers was a connection to the pantheon, the world of the gods. And the gods themselves were not anything what we might consider as moral beings or close to any of our Christian precepts. They were ruthless, and they were all about power and jealousy. And, you know, you read all of the, you know, back to the Iliad. I mean, this is a world that was less constrained by the kinds of issues that in effect, New Testament Christianity created. And you can also see the same thing in the Old Testament. It's not constrained by issues of humanity and compassion. You look across the ancient world, you see a much more ruthless vision of life. And one of the unique things that Christianity has, I think, brought to the world is a kind of hand on the shoulder that says, no, you've got to think above and beyond that. That didn't exist in civilization really before Christianity. And if we look at the world today, which is becoming, in the U.S., for example, much more secular and much more ruthless, same is true of Israel, the same is true of Islam. You see a much more Roman world, willing to do whatever it takes, putting power ahead of all other things in human life. And that's one of the ways in which modern civilization has become coarsened.
The past is not even past. I think that's what you're saying.
Right. That's right. And it is more resonant now than ever. America is more Roman now than ever before. Not that we didn't do terrible things in the past, but we had to at least reflect upon what we'd done and try and do better. Now there is no constraint whatsoever, it seems to me.
The orchestra is gathering at the edge of the curtain. Yes. I don't want to pay them double time, so we'll get out of the way. All right, guys, it's okay. We're going to get out of here. The Centurions have finished their third cups. They're headed home. Next week, we'll have stories from the 8th Legionnaire. Wonderful stories about the esprit of that legion. Not that the rest of you don't have your own esprit. We're just going to tell stories about the 8th. Macableos is Germanicus. John Batchelor is Gaius. Londinium is now ready for the closing bars of the Roman Rite. Thank you.
What's going on, everyone? It's Bluff here. And you know what's more American than America's 250th birthday? Supporting American-owned companies like SpinQuest, America's number one social casino with over 1,000 games like Live Dealer Blackjack and Craps. They're offering new users a $30 coin package for just $10. Go to SpinQuest.com and sign up today.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Stop the podcast.
Stop the podcast.
Hi, everybody. Just to let you know, this episode of Fish is sponsored by TV Licensing.
Yes, TV Licensing. What are you watching on TV, Andy?
I have been watching a show that's called 2 Weeks in August.
Okay.
Despite it being July at the time of recording.
Oh, you don't have to watch TV shows in the time that their name references.
No, absolutely. I watched The Darling Buds of May in winter. Anyway, 2 Weeks in August. It's a really good series. It's set on a lovely Mediterranean holiday.
Ooh.
And it's a group of old mates from uni who've gathered together. Some of them have got kids. Some of them haven't. Some of them have been going through big life events. And it's one of those amazing pressure cooker series where things just get more and more and more tense.
Oh, those stressful ones.
I love it. I love it.
I love my comedy, I gotta say. So I've been watching Android, which is Diane Morgan's new thing, and I absolutely love it. But I always on television watch everything with someone from Bolton in it. That's basically all I watch.
And she's from Bolton.
She's from Bolton.
But in this show, I believe she's a robot.
She's a robot, and it is not certain where in the country she's from.
It depends where the facility is that makes her, I suppose.
I guess so. But what are we actually here to say?
Oh, we're here to say that if you want to watch any of these shows, your TV license covers you to watch over 400 TV channels and everything on BBC iPlayer.
That is incredible.
So 2 Weeks in August has finished going out now, but you can get hold of it on the iPlayer.
If you want to find out more about this, then go to tvl.co.uk/pod.
Now back to the tension and the stress and the misery of this episode of Fish.
Oh, I thought you were referencing Bolton. On with the podcast.